If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Habakkuk Baldonado, the CFL's international man of mystery. Haba, you grew up in Italy until you were 17 and then moved over to the United States. But before we get into all that interesting CFL free agent process, when did you actually start to play football when you were in Italy? How old were you?
Man of mystery. That's funny. But yeah, so I first approached football when I was about 13 years old. That didn't last long. I lasted like a month or two. I just got into the sport, learned the rules, learned a bunch of stuff, discovered a team in Rome. But then I stopped really quick. And then I got back into it when I was 16. So we could actually say that I started playing when I was 16 years old and played in Italy and then had the chance to move to the U.S. and the rest is history, you know?
How did that process happen? You start essentially playing the game, as you said, when you're 16. And then all of a sudden you have these high caliber prep schools, let's call them, looking at you.
I don't know. It was fun. I was young. I was 16, 17 years old, so everything went fast. Maybe I didn't really understand it all the way through, but it was fun. At the time, I used to play for this team in Rome, Lazio Marines. I played for the under-16 team, and then right away, I got put into the, we could call it the major league, what it's called, Serie A. And that pushed me to get exposed and join the Italian national team, where it's a team that competes in Europe against other national teams, of course. And after that, I had an opportunity to get in touch with a coach in Florida, and I moved to the U.S.
And you went to Clearwater Academy. How did that help elevate your level to earn a scholarship at the University of Pittsburgh?
I mean, that was fundamental. That's where I would say I learned the most, where I learned the game of football, where I got adjusted to the speed, because everybody knows Florida high school football is one of the best in the country and in the world, we could say. And that was my trampoline that pushed me into college. I just played one season, and I guess I did good enough to receive a lot of offers around the country and ended up choosing the University of Pittsburgh for my collegiate career.
What other schools made you scholarship offers, Haba?
I had a lot. Nebraska, Oregon, Michigan State, UCF, UCLA. I don't know. It's been so long, I even forgot all the names, honestly. It doesn't really. But yeah, a fair amount of offers.
That's an impressive list. How did you go about your decision-making process when you have all these elite-level schools wanting you to go play football there and, of course, be a student as well?
That's a great question. I probably went about it the wrong way, but we ended up here, so it worked out. At the time, that was the second year that high school was competing at a 11-man football in the 11-man football championship with private school. So I was the first recruit coming out of that school, and all the coaching staff and the head coach, they were learning the process with me. So we were learning together. The head coach was really young, and he was more like one of my friends than my head coach, you know. And everything happened in the matter of months. I started getting all my offers January, February, and in February you had to sign. So every day I would have 3-4 new offers coming in, meeting new coaches, trying to schedule places. And I had to make I wouldn't call it a rush decision, but I didn't really know much about college football. I didn't know much about the U.S. because I had only been in the U.S. for 6-7 months at the time. And the head coach helped me through it, and I just ended up choosing the school that I felt like it fitted me the most.
You went to Pitt, and in particular, had an outstanding season in 2021 where you registered 9 sacks that year, really showing your potential in football, considering you hadn't played it for really that many years compared to a lot of the other players you were going against in the United States. Why were you able to really splash and burst on the scene that year in 2021 with the Panthers?
I mean, of course, I was blessed by all these athletic abilities and gifts, but I feel like my hard work and determination helped a lot. I was surrounded by great people that taught me a lot and pushed me to be better every day. And when the opportunity came, I just took it.
Then you go through the 2023 draft process. What was that experience like for you?
It was fun. As you said, 2021 was probably my best season in college. I ended up, for the stats, it was 9, but technically it was 10. They took me 2 halves off. So, because here down in the U.S., they do give half sacks away. So, and unfortunately, I got hurt 2021 season, so I ended up coming back for 2022 season. As you said, I went to the NFL Combine, and I got picked up as an undrafted free agent by the Giants. It was a lot of fun, you know. Since I started playing football, it was a dream to end up in the NFL, and that's where I ended up. I felt like I had a really great preseason, and things didn't end up working out in the way that I wanted, but it was still a lot of fun, great experience.
Then in 2023, in the CFL Global Draft, in the second round, you were selected 12th overall by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and since being drafted there, have elevated yourself to be, I think, one of the intriguing pass rushers in the league that people need to pay attention to, which is why Ottawa was interested in you in free agency. Before we get to the Red Blacks and your process to get there, what was your time like in Saskatchewan developing, learning the Canadian Football League game, and then growing into the player that you are today?
I mean, it was a good time, you know. Went through the Corey Mays coaching staff. That was good. That was a huge upgrade in Saskatchewan. You know, he brought a Grey Cup. I guess we could say we brought a Grey Cup back to that region. It was nice. Canadian football is a little bit different from American, so I had to do a little bit of adjustments, but I feel like it was pretty flawless. Loved meeting all my teammates, still tied with a lot of those guys, and it was a little unfortunate that I had to leave.
What was it like for you, Haba, to be playing football in Saskatchewan and then to bring those Rough Rider fans? I'm sure you know how rabid they are about their team, the 5th Grey Cup championship in franchise history.
It was interesting, you know, for a guy from Rome, Italy, going to Regina, Saskatchewan. That's a big difference. So at the beginning, it was interesting. It was an interesting adjustment, but great people around the whole province. I enjoyed being around my teammates, and it was great to bring a Grey Cup back to all those great fans that they have and all the people that have been waiting for so long for a winning team.
What was it like for you to get comfortable playing the Canadian game? Were there any challenges, or do you feel like you picked it up pretty naturally?
Not really. The only real challenge that there is in my position is that yard off. But once you get adjusted to that, the game is the game. Doesn't really change that much.
You mentioned Corey Mace specifically by name there in his coaching staff. How do you feel like Coach Mace or the rest of that defensive staff in particular really elevated your game?
How did he elevate my game? I mean, Coach Mays, he's a D-line coach, so he did give me a couple tips. He taught me a little bit. Philip Daniels, you know, 15 years in the NFL, he supported me and like pushed me to do what I did. And great coaching staff, great people, you know, and defenses win championships, and that's what we ended up doing.
You certainly proved that for sure. I've talked to some people who watched the film of that 112th Grey Cup, and you definitely stood out. They were talking about you being a beast on the field there for Saskatchewan in that CFL championship victory. And you look at last season, you know, I think you flashed your potential. I think there's more untapped potential there for you to reach in Ottawa as well. You had 17 defensive tackles, 4 sacks, a forced fumble in 18 regular season games for Saskatchewan, not to mention what you did in the playoffs for the Rough Riders. So how do you see yourself as a player in the CFL in terms of reaching your potential? Are you there, or is there more levels to go for Habakkuk Baldonado?
I mean, it's funny that you mentioned the Grey Cup as one of my splash games, because actually that game I was hurt. The game before, I got a high ankle sprain and I tore a ligament in my ankle, so I wasn't even supposed to play. So it was, in my opinion, it wasn't even that good of a game because I was hurt, so I couldn't really push it. I had my ankles taped. I had a lidocaine shot in the ankle. I just pushed it through. You know, the team needed me and other players, so I just made it work. But as I said, and that's how I feel for a lot of players, the player is the player, and it's all about opportunity. So when the opportunity shows, you show the people what you're able to do. And my opportunity came, and I show people what I can do. There's obviously I can get much better as a player, and I'm working day in, day out as it, try to get better every day at all aspects of the game. But what I show is what I can do, and I can do much more than that. All I need is opportunity, and that's what Ottawa gave me.
You can see that literally for the people who are listening to the audio version of the podcast. You're joining us from the weight room at the University of Pittsburgh, which is, of course, your alma mater. So I'm curious, Hobba, now that you reveal the injury that you had in the playoffs and in the Grey Cup, how do you push through and play through that pain?
It was tough, man. I'm not going to lie. It was tough. I've always been a team first type of player, and that has hurt me a lot in my career, but I will forever be like that. You know, I'll put the team and my teammates before. I don't care about organization. I don't care about all the politics and all the dirty stuff that goes on behind. I always push my body to the limit to try to achieve those goals that me and my teammates set up to do. And, it's just mental. You just set yourself to a goal. You set that goal and you try to pursue it as hard as you can. The whole week I walked with a boot, and I try to not wear the boot every time that there were cameras or the stuff around. But yeah, I always walk with the boot. I did a little bit of practice because they wanted to make sure that I was going to be able to play in the game. Initially, the doctors, as I told you, they told me it was going to be impossible, that I was not going to be able to play. But I did a little more every day, you know, until the game, and the game I just showed up.
You definitely showed up in the playoffs for Saskatchewan. 6 total tackles. You had a sack in the West Final where you said you sustained that injury. But then we're all over the field in the Grey Cup. And that's what I noticed on film from what Mace does with the defensive ends that he really trusts. Malik Carney, for example, I remember breaking down the film of the Labor Day win over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And on the first 5 snaps of the game, Hob, I'm sure you saw this all the time, he was in 5 different places. And you were very similar in terms of being used in that role by Corey Mace. So what was it like for you to be lined up in all of those different spots on the defense?
I mean, last year we were blessed to have a bunch of different DNs with me, Malik Carney, Shane Ray, that are able to actually play anywhere in the line. That's what I did since college. I play anywhere from nose to 3 technique to DN. I stood up, I can stand up, I can drop in coverage. Same with Malik, same with Shane. And that's what guys like that allow your defense to do. So when you have some guys that have that versatility, defense can put them in different positions to help the team to achieve the wins, you know?
Definitely. And you can see the way that you guys were used. Mace had the trust in you, but as you alluded to, you have to have the athletic ability to be able to do it as well. And you certainly do, which is why I think Ottawa was intrigued about you. Before we move on to the Red Blacks, did you have conversations with Saskatchewan about re-signing and staying in the green and white?
I did all the time. Yeah, of course. But it just didn't work out, you know?
Was that something that you wanted to do or felt was close, or what made the difference there?
That's a hard question right there. I mean, honestly, as a player, there's a lot of things that go into big decisions like that. Because, of course, as a player, you play for 2 years with a team. So you're used to the place, you're used to the players, you're used to the coaches, you're used to the playbook. So it's easier for you to just step in and play because you don't have to learn a whole new playbook. You don't have to find a new apartment to live in. So we always tend to want to stay. And sometimes we even offer discounts to the team. But at times, teams, you know, it's a business, of course. So I understand how some teams approach it. But at some point, teams just become disrespectful, you know. And you have to know your value, and you can't allow people to disrespect you and try to sell you short for what you're actually worth.
Did you feel like Saskatchewan got to the point where it was disrespectful, or are you just talking in general?
I have to say yes. Like, that's how they always start. And I was blunt with them. Like, they try to shoot some super low offers at the beginning because some players that don't have experience, which I didn't have, for example, but some other of my friends didn't have as well, and they got them with the low offers with just... We just agree. And this is our job. This is our livelihood. So I understand the business part, but, you know, there's a personal part into it as well, where I feel sometimes those lines cross a little too much, you know.
Did you handle your own contract negotiations?
I had some advisors, but I did handle it myself for the most part.
And what was that like, as you said, to go through, you know, really for the first time as a player who has shown a lot of potential to handle contract negotiations?
It's tough as a player because especially somebody that doesn't have the experience. So as you mentioned, I was in the NFL and then I was in the CFL, but both time I was under rookie contract, so I never had to deal for new contracts or anything like that. And you just have to know your worth, be realistic with it. Don't, like, there's no point in being unrealistic, and then just stand your ground and ask for what the market says and what other people say your true worth is.
So let's say you get to the CFL communication window, negotiation window, legal tampering window, whatever people want to call it. The window, I think, is what most people call it. Which other CFL teams did you start to hear from?
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
From?
I can't tell, but there was a couple of different teams that tried to reach out, and at the end, Ottawa was the one that gave the best offer, you know? And then Coach Philip Daniels went back there, so there's with CJ Revis as well and AJ. So there's a lot of familiar faces, and I felt comfortable signing with them.
What was it about Ottawa's recruiting pitch, let's call it, to sign you that enticed you to sign there?
I mean, they offer a great contract. Ottawa is a beautiful city. It's the capital. There's a lot to do, a lot of possibilities. They're rebuilding a team, so I feel like we're building something special. There's a lot of great players and a lot of great coaches, and I trust the coaches and the players. So I like what they had to offer.
You mentioned CJ Revis, AJ Allen, Jake Mayer is a former Rough Rider who's over there as well. You guys have now that championship pedigree from Saskatchewan in 2025. Did you talk to those guys and discuss and say, hey, I think I'm leaning towards going to Ottawa. Let's go do this thing together.
Actually, no, I didn't really talk to them that much. We kind of figured it all out at the same time, because as you said, the tampering window and all those windows, they're so short, and people try to be so secretive about it. They don't really talk to anyone about it. So once it's about to happen or it happens, that's when everybody figures it out. I probably figured it out a little before the media or like other people, but yeah, it wasn't. I didn't know it for that long.
What was it like for you, Haba, to be in the window as a player representing yourself? Are teams trying to get your contact information? Are you getting calls from different area codes wondering who's calling your phone?
Well, as I say, I did have advisors, so for the most part, they helped me with the process. But initially, I was set into going back to Saskatchewan, you know. As I told you, knew the coaches, knew the plays, knew the playbook. It was easier, but couldn't make it work. And so I got to the tampering window, and I had to handle all the calls. Yeah, as you say, everybody calling. And which is crazy, because I wanted to wait until the last second to actually – and I gave a chance to Sask till the last second for the discount, but it just didn't work out. And I ended up signing with Ottawa. And actually, even less than 20 hours after, I got a call from the NFL from a team that wanted to bring me in, but it was already too late because I had signed with Ottawa. So, you know, it's hard to go through it, because you never know what's going to happen. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of what ifs, but you just got to go with whatever you think it's best for you.
Did that NFL team have any contact with you prior to what you described?
We didn't. No, really, we didn't really have that many contacts. They just called me thinking that I had just become a free agent, but technically they called me just a day too late. Otherwise, yeah.
What's that like as a player when, you know, you've agreed with the Ottawa Redblacks and then a team from the NFL calls you? I don't think a lot of people would faulted you if you wanted to go.
Well, first of all, the contract is binding, so I didn't really have any choice. You can just go, because now I'm under contract. And second, I took my decision, and I'm happy with my decision, so I'm big on making my decision right and not just making right decisions. So I'll make my decision right, and I go give it my all to Ottawa.
You went through the process as a global player in the league. There's been a lot of talk about the global program, but you know, I think for all the discourse about it and some of the analysis, you can look at some players around the league and say, hey, like, these guys are really good. And I think you would be the shining example potentially for resetting the bar for the global players in the Canadian Football League from a talent perspective, from a production perspective, and then now, as you alluded to, from a salary perspective. So do you feel the same way, that you've pushed the bar higher for other globals in the Canadian Football League and potentially ones that come in the future?
I do feel like that. And I feel like it's been a battle every step of the way since high school. You know, I was one of the first to do it all, to just go through high school alone without any agencies, to go through college just after playing high school, you know. not being able to have NIL and fight for NIL for global players, and then going to the NFL as an American, as a regular guy, and not as a global, which now they're giving opportunities to globals, and now finally the CFL. So a goal of mine has always been to try to expand the game and make all these levels recognize that there's a lot of great players around the world. It's not just Americans and Canadians, you know? And so I'm actually proud to be able to say that I'm trying to raise the standard and set the bar a little higher, because there's a lot of great international players. And being global is not always the easiest. You know, it can be a little bit of a handicap for a lot of people, because you might not get the looks that you deserve, or you might not get the same opportunities or the same paychecks because of ratios, or because of reasons, or because you're just labeled as global. So I love that I'm setting this standard, and I want to keep fighting for the globals and international players.
I'd have to ask our resident Three Down Nation global expert in JC Abbott if this is actually the case, but I believe, Haba, that you are the highest paid global player in Canadian Football League history. So when you hear that, and then, like you said, think about your journey to this point, how does it make you feel?
Man, it's nice. It's an indication that I'm going the right way. I'm doing the right things. The work is not done. There's a lot more that needs to be done, but it's you got to celebrate the small wins, you know, and this is a small win for me, for the global movement, and for a lot of other people.
Definitely. And you're only 26 years old, Haba. That's what stood out to me through this process, is that the Ottawa Redblacks are getting a player who still has lots of prime years in front of him. It's not like you're in your late 20s or early 30s. You're only 26 years old. So how many levels do you feel like you have to go here in terms of your development, considering the fact, I'll say it again, that you're just 26?
Yeah, I'm blessed to be lucky. I'm blessed to be this young still, but the years are, time doesn't stop for anyone. So as you said, I haven't played football a whole lot of years, so I feel like I haven't reached my ceiling yet. There's a lot more that I can do and I'm capable to do. And I'm showing it year in and year out since college. You know, every year we get better. We don't have down years or anything like that. So, you know, I'll just study my tape, study my game, and try to get better.
The other, I'll call it a barrier, but I don't know if that's the right word to use here, that you've gotten over is, you told me that growing up in Italy, Italian was your first language, Spanish would be your second, and English was your third. But now you speak English so well, I would imagine part and parcel with playing football. But how were you able to develop, you know, that part of your skill set and become fluent in English?
Well, in Italy is much different than Canada and the U.S. because Italian is not that common of a language. So we are kind of forced to study at least 2 to 3 languages growing up since elementary school. I was lucky enough to study, of course, Italian, Spanish, and English. But as anybody knows, studying a second or third language in school just gets you so far. And I knew the grammar and stuff, but once I came over to the U.S. And I started going through school, through high school and college, and being around English native speaker all the time, my English just got better. I just keep trying to perfect it. I wanted to try to have no accent, and I still have a little accent here and there, but you can't really do anything about it. And I'm pretty proud about my English at this point.
You should be. It sounds really good. And I think the accent is unique, and a lot of people would probably like the way that it is. I think the way that Italian and Spanish sounds is way better than English, but that's just me. Okay. In terms of the Ottawa Redblacks and the team that you left, you literally went from the Saskatchewan Roughriders, who were on top of the CFL Grey Cup champions, to the Redblacks, who were last place in the Canadian Football League in 2025. Obviously, the team is hoping that 2026 is much different. So how do you feel like you can help turn the franchise around in the nation's capital?
Honestly, as a player, I'm never going to say that I will personally turn the franchise around, because that doesn't happen. It will never happen. It never happened. Football is the ultimate sports game. So you ultimately need the whole team from top down. You need the leadership of the front office, and you need the leadership from the players. I feel like that they brought in a lot of great pieces. They have great coaches, and they're trying to install a great culture. And so step by step, I can only promise that I'll give you my all. I'll give the Ottawa Red Blacks my all. And we're gonna try to turn the team around. And I love a challenge, you know. I came to Pitt. It wasn't at the top, and we ended up winning an ACC championship. I went to Sask, who wasn't at the top, and we ended up winning a Grey Cup. So we got another challenge, and I love it.
Did you get the sense that when you were going through the recruiting process with Ottawa, they were building a team that could be really competitive? And I guess to drill down and ask a better question, like, you look at the offense, especially the receiving core, I think you could make an argument it's among the top in the league. You know, they've added to the offensive line. They brought in Jake Mayer as a quarterback there to have some great depth with Drew Brown. And then they're rebuilding the defense slash keeping some of their own pieces there. So did you look at the overall roster construction to help you make your decision to sign in Ottawa?
Of course, 100%. That's really important. Like, people may think that as a defensive player, I'm going to just look at the defense and see how good we will be in defense. But you got to understand that defense and offense are connected, because if the offense doesn't score, the defense is always on the field. You get tired. You're not able to make the same plays. A team's going to run on you to waste time. So there's a lot of intersections between offense and defense. And I saw all the weapons that they brought on offense. They have one of the best, if not the best, offensive coordinator in the nation, in Canada. So I'm really excited for what they're going to do. And the defense, they brought a lot of us from Sask, and they had a lot of great players. And you got to analyze the game as a whole. Sometimes as a spectator, it's hard to really tell the potential of the team or what the team is really capable to do. But if you look back at the games, even when Ottawa played Sask, what did they lose by? One touchdown on the last 5 minutes. You know, it's not a team that it's a team that has been fighting and has been losing really close games. There has been some blownouts, but that's what we're here for. And I have a lot of confidence in this team coming in.
Haba, I led off the interview by calling you the CFL's international man of mystery. And I mean that as an endearing term, because you grew up in Italy, as you said, until you were 17 years old and then moved to Florida. Your mom is Italian. Your dad is from the Caribbean. So can you just sort of take us through your family history? Do you go back to Italy? Do you visit, you know, any of your family that's potentially in the Caribbean as well? Like, what are your off seasons like, man? It sounds like it'd be fun to be Habakkuk Baldonado in the off season.
My off season are crazy. They get pretty crazy. Usually, since in the CFL, we get all this time off, I try to just decompress and travel for the first couple of months of the off season, and that's what I've been doing for the past two seasons. And like this year, right after a Grey Cup, I left and I flew straight to Japan. Went to Japan for a little bit. Went from Japan to China, from China to Oman, Oman to the Emirates. Then I went to Bahrain, and then at some point, you got to cut it off, because I always train at all the steps, but it becomes a little hard to train when you don't have like a stable place. So I went back to Italy, started training a little more seriously. And when I want to get real serious, I come here back at Pitt and put the work in here with my strength coaches, all my D-line trainers, you know. And so I spent 2 or 3 months really doing the heavy work, the heavy lifting.
So you're half Italian, and then can you describe for the people, like you did for me, the background of your father in the Caribbean?
So my dad, as I said, is from the Caribbean. This super small island in the Caribbean Sea is an archipelago. It's called San Andres and Santa Catalina and Providencia, which is off the coast of Nicaragua. But technically, for the last 50 years, something like that, it's been part of Colombia. But the natives, they're more like Jamaicans, you know, dark people that speak English. They don't really even speak Spanish. So I don't know, a whole mix.
Haba, is there anything that you want to share with the Ottawa Red Blacks fans about what they're getting in terms of a player on the field and who you will be in the community off it?
Man, what you see is what you get. All I know is hard work and dedication. So I'm going to bring that mentality and we're going to turn the team around and try to give it our all on the field and leave nothing to doubt.
That's Habakkuk Baldonado, the international man of mystery in the Canadian Football League. Man, I appreciate you taking over half an hour in the interview and us getting to learn a lot about you. I've seen you play, but to hear about your background and coming from Rome over to the U.S. and then, as you said, your journey as a global in the Canadian Football League, it's a great story. And I think people around the league need to be paying attention to you in Ottawa because I think that arrow is pointing straight up. And I'll get you out on this. Are you going to continue to wear 95 or what number will you have there with Ottawa?
I think so. That's the plan. Funny story, I always wore 87 up until college. And then when I came up to Canada, to Saskatchewan, they gave me 95 and I actually started liking it. So I might keep it.
So there's no meaning or anything behind the number? Just you like it?
No, 95, they just happened to give it to me. There was a meaning behind 87, but now we're different. So we're different players. So I like the 95.
All right. Keep an eye for number 95. On the field in the Canadian Football League season in 2026. Haba, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.